Welcome to the Rom-Com Games, a championship podcast.
Our season starts with 16 incredible,
or not so incredible,
rom-coms, with one movie being eliminated each episode.
Which rom-com will be the winner? Well, that's up to us, your hosts, Ruth
and Kristen.
So let's get started.
Today's movies are Forgetting Sarah Marshall and Falling in Love.
Welcome back to the paradise of your choosing. You chose to listen to this podcast and it is a paradise. That's our new theme song.
I tried one last season and Kristen didn't like it, so I'm going to throw another one out there, see how she feels.
What do you think?
So it's interesting that you chose paradise as one of the words because it follows with today's theme. Yes. So if you haven't guessed already, today's theme for film is international / vacation.
Yeah. And it's actually extremely rude because while Kristen and I are filming this in the Washington, D.C. area, it is in the 30s and snowing. And both of these movies, we stupidly picked movies set in like a tropical, sunny, beautiful climate.
It's wish fulfillment. We wish we could have been there, but we're not.
I guess, but we're not. So I kind of wish we'd chosen like A Christmas Prince or something set in a snowy wonderland so we could have reveled in the winter.
I know you've only seen Christmas Prince like 15 times. Are you ready to think about it critically to ruin your favorite movie?
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I've seen A Christmas Prince one time. That's the number of times I've seen it. I saw the second one time and then I didn't watch the third one. Royal Baby. Luckily, neither of these movies include babies. A babyless paradise, if you will. Once again, return to the paradise. This is a babyless paradise. No babies on our show ever. We promise. We swear that right now.
Speaking of tropical vacations that you so sorely wish you could be on, what was the last vacation you took? Either when it was safe or in the before times.
Ooh, the last vacation I took, I think, was, what, that would be 3 summers ago now? I went to my cousin Andrew's wedding, which was in Lake Tahoe.
Ooh.
And then we went to Yosemite after, and it was stunningly beautiful. And I did want to quit my job and immediately move to Yosemite to work as a park worker. And Chris had to remind me that I enjoy going out to eat. And actually, there are no restaurants in national parks.
Crazy. I think like for the first 2 to 3 weeks, you would have been like in the majesty of the national parks. And then...
Oh, I was going to say 2 to 3 months.
Maybe.
Because I worked at camps. Those last for about the length of a summer. I'm normally living it up.
But I don't think it would be like a subtle regression back to like, oh, I miss this stuff. I think it would have like you would have woken up one day and immediately been like, nope, I'm done. This is it.
Where are French fries? I want a lasagna. I want to stare at a monument. I guess they have large trees. They're kind of like monuments.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you? What was your last vacation that you took before the pandemic?
I went to visit my grad school friends in London weeks before the pandemic.
Oh, yeah. That was good timing.
Very good timing. It was in mid-February because I found really cheap flights and I wanted to visit my friends. And we were none the wiser back then.
Of course.
COVID was here.
She was present, but we didn't really get what was going on because we're not scientists.
Yeah, we didn't get the full grasp of it.
Definitely. I mean, I still don't, to be honest. Who am I? What life are we living? Someone call 1-800-QUESTIONS and let us know.
Well, these movies, the two movies for today, one is set in Hawaii, and tell me, you've been to Hawaii before.
Yeah, I went when I was 18, a long time ago. family members were living over there, because if you don't know already, I'm in a Coast Guard family, Coasties for life. And my uncle was living over there. He'd been transferred there. So we went to stay with them because free place to stay. And the pineapple, it was glorious. It was the first time I'd ever enjoyed pineapple in my entire life.
You don't like it normally?
Not like canned. Now I do. But when I was a kid, like canned pineapple, I thought it was so gross. And it's often hard, you know? Not nasty. It looks so beautiful in this movie, though. I didn't get to do any of the things that the people in Forgetting Sarah Marshall did, like jump off cliffs.
because I was 18.
Those two things are not mutually exclusive. Just because you're 18 does not mean you can't jump off a cliff.
That's correct.
And to be honest, most 18-year-olds would think they are young enough to jump off a cliff.
Right. But I was too old and too young all at once. You know me when I was 18. And my mother was definitely having none of that shenanigans. One of the things I liked about this movie, actually, being set in Hawaii, which was obviously not the experience I had because I just stayed on a resort, but it's one of the rare movies I've seen set in Hawaii that spends a lot of time focusing on either Native Hawaiians or people who live there full time. Like, spent some time focusing on, like, the rich people and their little fake life that they're living in the resort, but it spent a lot of time talking about, like, the resort workers, like, what do they do outside of work? And the life they live. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I had a lot of questions and I'll get into this. But basically, okay. I feel like there are a lot of rules broken between the resort workers and the guests. I feel like you can't have a romantic relationship / sleep with the guests while they are actively a guest at your resort.
I don't know. Somebody who's worked, I've never worked at a hotel before. I'm sure it's frowned upon, but I don't know if it's like in a rule book. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like that would be a big rule.
But how can you enforce that? Let me look. Okay. Are hotel employees... Oh, this is all very depressing. Suggested searches like, are hotel employees frontline workers? Shout out to hotel employees. You've had a tough job the last couple of years. Are hotel employees allowed to enter your room? Well, I hope so. But hopefully not while you're sleeping. They're allowed to date guests. Hotel employees are not allowed. You were right. It says sometimes it's expressly mentioned in their contract that their service will be terminated without any pension. Wow. If they keep any kind of relationships. But somebody else down here says that it's just a unspoken rule. So I guess it depends on the hotel.
Wow, but the fact that I thought it was a rule and you were just like, I don't know, means that if you were a hotel worker, you would have flaunted that rule.
I don't think that's what it means. I wasn't like, it shouldn't be a rule. I was just like, I don't know if that's like legally binding.
And in Ruth's world, if it's not legally binding, she can do whatever she wants.
I'm a hop right on it, baby. The law is the only thing keeping my morals in line. I love the law. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in this movie. It's just kind of a movie full of people who are a bit of a mess, which I also enjoy. Did you ever watch the sequel to, or semi-sequel to Forgetting Sarah Marshall, the one that's starred Russell Brand?
Oh, isn't that the one with Russell Brand and Jonah Hill? No.
Yeah.
I have no interest. I've heard it's terrible.
I didn't either. No romance? No me. It seemed like it was just kind of hangover-y, which there were parts of that in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, but then it was tempered by the good-natured, like, a man trying to grow, and also two people who like each other.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This really easily transitions to us describing what our two movies are. So, Ruth, can you tell us the plot of Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
I would love to. Okay, so main character of this movie is Jason Segel, who plays a composer named Peter. He's like a composer for a crime TV show, basically. Seems like his main gig. He makes the background music for the show. And he's in a long-term relationship with the star of the show, the aptly named Sarah Marshall. But Sarah one day, like, out of the blue, announces that she's going to break up with him. And they're donezo. So Peter tries a bunch of stuff. Like, he tries to have one-night stands. It does not work. And he decides to take his little butt over to Hawaii, I think to a resort that he had, like, heard Sarah mention before, is how he came up with it. But when he gets there, he realizes that Sarah and her new famous boyfriend, who's played by Russell Brand, are also staying at the resort. So the woman who works at the resort, Rachel, who's played by, what's her name? Mila Kunis. She feels really bad for Peter because he's just like going through a lot and he's not handling it well at all. He's handling like a little baby boy. No He's not handling it, period. So she puts him in a suite that's like empty for whatever reason. So obviously him and Rachel, she's Mila Kunis, she's very cute and fun and spunky. So they start spending time together and having feelings for each other. But he's still like pretty hung up on Sarah Marshall. You also find out that Rachel has been kind of having like a little like avoiding of her adulthood. She doesn't really know what she wants to do with her life. And she like maybe wants to go back to school, but she's like putting it off just to like live the surfer life. Anyway, so Peter goes through a real cool moment where Sarah and her boyfriend break up and she tries to seduce him and he's like going along with it basically, except explicit warning, his penis won't get hard. So then he's just like, wait, maybe I shouldn't, which is apparently the way men make decisions in this movie. Rachel finds out, gets mad. He leaves and goes back home to write a vampire musical with puppets. This is all explained. Just watch the movie. It's all explained in the movie. On what, opening night, I think, or closing night of the musical, Rachel shows up and they have a little like wink, wink. Like she's like, maybe I'll go to college here. And he's like, I'm doing something with my life. And then they like make out. And that's Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Why don't you introduce us to Falling in Love?
Before I describe this film, I'm just going to say why we chose this, because Falling in Love is not as well known as Forgetting Sarah Marshall, but we chose this film because this was kind of like the unofficial inspiration for the podcast. It all started, and Ruth will go probably on a tangent about this, but Ruth was very displeased with the kissing in this Netflix original romantic comedy starring Christina Milian.
More like lack of kissing.
Yes. And from there, this kind of spurred a discussion of like, well, what would you consider the best movie kisses? And then it kind of then moved on to what would you consider the best rom-coms, a discussion between us. And then we started ranking it and having different qualifiers and deciding like what, how you can count it for what. And then it kind of just all accumulated to the creation of this podcast.
So true. And now this is the light of your life. Like, you're welcome. We know that this is the best thing to happen to your life. And so you have Falling in Love to thank for all of that.
So it's the 2019 Netflix original film starring Christina Milian, obviously. It's classic.
Obviously.
And it stars her as Gabriella, this, what, she's like interior designer. She like works in like eco-friendly.
Yeah, I think she's like an architect almost, yeah.
And she gets dumped by her boyfriend and loses her job and is kind of going through another life crisis.
She dumps her boyfriend.
So you're right. She dumps her boyfriend.
Clarification. Yeah. Because she's a girl boss.
And she's kind of going through this crisis and she gets drunk off like, I don't know, 2 bottles of wine and enters this contest to win an inn. And the inn is located in New Zealand, one of the prettiest places in this world.
But not like major metro area in New Zealand, like out in the middle of nowhere.
Bumfuck middle of nothing New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So she finds out the next morning that she won. And she's the legal owner of this inn, so she has to pack up her life temporarily in San Francisco, or she thinks, and moves to New Zealand temporarily to help restore this inn and then use it as kind of like either to sell it or to use it as like an income property while she goes back into her normal life in San Francisco. So while she's in the process of rebuilding, she gets really acquainted with this town and also the local carpenter, fix-it man, whatever we want to call him.
Oh my gosh.
Jake.
So handsome.
So hot. So beautiful. Oh my God. Is stunning. But honestly, one of our favorite tropes, enemies to lovers, they kind of have some friction. She's like, I could do it myself. And he's like, you really can't. There's a lot you need to know. And you're kind of doing this on a whim. And she's like, no, I don't need your help. Turns out she does need his help. So then they decide to go into business together to restore the inn together and then sell it and either sell it or just run it and split the profits. And of course, through this whole process, they fall in love.
And there's a goat there.
Yeah, there's a goat who keeps popping up. And then there's another like rival inn in the town. And the woman who runs it wants to buy Christina Milian's inn. But she's like, no, I want it. I'm restoring it. I want to.
When there's like an ex-boyfriend, like, you know how it goes. It's very like this movie's very like Hallmark romance vibes.
I would say a step up from Hallmark. It's not, Hallmark just has like a little level of corniness and like chastity and like G-ratedness that like is too much for me. This I would say is like on the PG level.
What do parents need to guide for? What action in this movie did you think required parental guidance? Was it when they kissed and instead of showing them kissing, the camera showed the back of their heads? Stupid.
Oh, we should also mention, in the Hallmark-esque fashion of these films, Hot Jake is, of course, a widower. There's no other way.
There's no other way. Because the only way for men to have feelings is to lose a woman. And I've learned that from every action movie and Hallmark movie. R.I.P. But man has feelings now, so that's nice. All right, so let's jump into it. I'm sorry, Jason Segel, but once again, I love Forgetting Sarah Marshall, but this is how you know that a rom-com is a rare rom-com written for men instead of for women, is because the lead character will be a funny guy who's not that hot.
But he's so cute, though. Like, I feel like, yeah. Like, I feel like we all had a little bit of a crush on him when he was Marshall in...
Oh, I mean, of course. He is the dream guy.
Yeah.
In that show.
But he's not, like, a smoke show like Jake from Falling in Love. No.
And he's such, like, a natural actor. He, like, seems like he just isn't even reading lines. He just, like, wandered on the screen.
And, of course, that, like, that deep voice and that accent is just like, oh, my God.
He took off his shirt that one time.
See, that's where it's PG.
Oh, that's why it's PG. Okay, that makes sense. Because Christina Milian went, goop.
Okay, we also.
We related. Okay, so since we're talking about hotness and looks, also Christina Milian is very hot. We should put that out there too. Let's get into physical chemistry, shall we?
I'm going to let you take this first vote. You feel like you have a lot in your mind.
This was a really tough one. I had a really hard time with this one. So the thing Kristen mentioned where I really got like on a tangent about this movie is because I actually think the chemistry in Falling in Love is like pretty spectacular. The tension that the two of them have, especially, I guess that's valid, like you were saying, for a Hallmark type movie. It does feel like they're going to take each other's clothes off at any second, which normally Hallmark's movies don't. Like they don't actually do anything, which is disappointing.
Movies can be like a little sexless sometimes, like even though it's all true. About romance, it's like pretty like bare bones versus like Falling in Love, you were like, you just want them to rip each other's clothes off, and you
they
also
were giving
want to
each
rip
other very
off
much
Jake's clothes. What'd you say? I said you also want to rip off Jake's clothes.
Right. Obviously, but second best option is them doing it.
Number one is us. Yeah. Number one is number right. Two is them.
Sorry, Jake, we don't mean to, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, we don't mean to, you're a great actor. We don't mean to minimize you to your looks, but boy, you look good. Yes, so I actually think the chemistry in this is spectacular. The two of them really have something. They're both really good at giving each other like the very like warm, sultry eyes and doing longing looks after each other. And that builds up for the first, what? I don't know. They probably don't kiss until like an hour into the movie. And then the kiss, I think it was all the directing because they have so much chemistry. The kiss is, it happens. I watched it. I rewound it this time because it made me so mad last time. It happens from three different camera angles and none of them are in front of them full on. One of them is from behind Jake's head as Christina Milian comes in. One of them is behind his head, her head as he comes in. And then one of them is behind the back of their heads. So really, you know that they're kissing logically because you can see two heads that are close to each other, but you can't even see their lips touch. And then the kiss at the end, you can see their lips touch, but it's literally like, thanks for the visit, Grandma. So stupid. And there are great movies out there where you were making fun of me about tongue. There are great movies out there where people aren't French kissing or making out and the kiss is still like very fulfilling. But this was not one of them. I was extremely disappointed. However, on the other hand, you're probably going to disagree with me. We'll see. I think
Jason Segel has a bit of the Andy Samberg thing in terms of like funny guy who's a good actor but doesn't really know how to act like he's flirting. So I often think Jason Segel is like comes off as kind of sexless. So I thought him and Mila Kunis were very cute together. Like I very much believed they would date, but at no point was I like, kiss. So I actually, in a crazy twist, ended up voting for Falling in Love just because I thought their chemistry was better throughout, even though the kiss was so disappointing.
And I think the main reason, now that you're talking about it, the main reason why we're really disappointed in the Falling in Love kiss is because there's so much tension and buildup every other time they're not about to kiss, or like when there was like that one scene where they like fall off the porch and they're about to kiss. Like there is so much more tension there than their actual kiss. There's like no build up to like the kiss when they're in the moment, just like sitting on the beach. They're just like sitting reading a letter and then all of a sudden they kiss. And I was just like, there is no build up there.
No.
The build up has been in other scenes, not this scene.
Yes. You're absolutely right. That's a good point. It was probably partially the directing, like where they chose to shoot it from, and partially that, why'd you choose to do it there? You should have had them fall and kiss at some other point, or like be playing in the water and trip over each other and then kiss. Like they are seriously are just lying on a blanket reading old love letters, and then they're just like, we could kiss.
Especially because they were so at odds for a while, and like you could see them like fight, like, you know, kind of dealing with the inner turmoil of like, he was like, am I ready? Because I have a dead wife. And she was like, oh, but I'm leaving.
Girlfriend.
But yeah, she did. Yeah, I know. And she said something, Christina Milian's character said something after they kissed. She was like, oh, I didn't expect that. And it just came off so stupid because they'd been sitting there staring at each other really closely for like 2 minutes. So you were like, of course you did. Also, you're the one that leaned in to kiss him. So of course you expected it. Like, what are you talking about? It just was all stupid. But the chemistry was so good through the rest of it that I still ended up voting for it.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I at first voted for Forgetting Sarah Marshall because their kiss was so bad. But that's I didn't consider the rest of their sexual tension throughout the movie and Falling in Love. But I do have to give, I do disagree with you a little bit on Jason Segel. I don't see him as sexless as you do. I see it's always like more awkward flirting and like awkward, like goofy man. But I also have to give him kudos. He had pretty good chemistry with both Mila Kunis and Kristen Bell. Like when they had the flashbacks to their relationship when it was like the good portions of it, like they were adorable. They had some good.
They were cute. Yeah, I agree. Which is, I think, a good move on the movie's part because at first you have absolutely no idea. Like when she breaks up with him and when it shows the flashbacks to their most recent relationship, you have no idea why the two of them are together. They seem to have nothing in common.
Yeah, and they were together for like 9 years or something crazy. Like
it was a long time. Yeah. All right. Well, we came to the same conclusion. And that conclusion is Falling in Love, director, pull it together.
The audience wanted one thing.
You did not deliver. You had two cups of hotness right in front of you. And you said, unacceptable. Let's move on before I get too angry.
This wasn't you angry?
No. It was me annoyed. What's next?
Next is storyline and originality.
This one was very easy for me. I voted for Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I think that's one of those rare rom-coms where there's not really another one exactly like it. Partially because there's so many weird elements. Like the vampire musical is just so good and it's so weird.
I honestly, so I had watched Forgetting Sarah Marshall a couple months ago, so I didn't rewatch it directly for this episode just because it's pretty fresh in my memory. But I did have to go back and rewatch the Dracula musical clip.
But there's also stuff like everybody in the movie is kind of a complex person except for Russell Brand's character. But even he's just a dick. But even he isn't shown to be like a monster. It's made clear like halfway through the movie when him and Jason Segel have a conversation why Sarah likes him. Like he's very charismatic and he brings people in, right? And Sarah, the movie makes her a villain a little bit, but that's common with an ex in a rom-com, so I don't mind it as much. But it shows that like she has regrets and she's probably just caught up in the fame and makes a stupid decision. I didn't love the whole she had been cheating on Jason Segel for a while, you know, plot point. But then when she talked, once again, they didn't make her a villain because she talked about how hard it was to live with him when he was clearly just like depressed and unmotivated and he wouldn't do anything for himself. And she talked about how she just wanted like a token of love and affection. I was like, all right, yeah, kind of makes sense. So I think that is better. Whereas falling in love, the whole like somebody winning an inn, I haven't seen that before, but the rest of the storyline is very like rote, Hallmark, something random and completely ridiculous happens, conflict with local town man, fall in love, decide to stay in small town. Like, it's all pretty classic. So I voted for Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
That's pretty Hallmark-y. And right. Yeah, I also agree. I actually wasn't sure which one I was going to vote for this one because I found them both to be fairly original. But I think Forgetting Sarah Marshall is a bit more original just because, you know, it is a raunchier rom-com. It's from the mostly the man's perspective, which is not as common in rom-coms.
I'm fine with that, to be clear.
I think this is a good example of one, though.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, and it wasn't like, it showed him struggling with the breakup, but it showed like him like as like, I mean, they're all a mess, but he is like the biggest mess. And like, I feel like that's not a common trope that they use. And also like, you know, the relationship with Mila Kunis is a big plot point, but it's, I think it's kind of the B plot point. Like, there, it's very close to the main plot point, but the main plot point is him getting over Sarah Marshall and him moving on from his breakup. And I think that's a really interesting narrative to have as the main plot point.
Yeah. I always like rom-coms where the main point of the movie is somebody, like, getting their groove back or like gaining confidence or changing or whatever. And then the romance is kind of like a side bonus. That's why I feel that way about like Trainwreck with Amy Schumer. You know, like I like movies like that. So I agree.
Yeah. And you know what? I like a raunchy rom-com every once in a while. It doesn't have to be chased. It doesn't have to be, you know, we met, we fell in love, we moved to a small town, even though that is the exact plot point of.
And we never touched. Sometimes you can touch. Am I okay? Would I have been okay with not seeing Jason Segel's penis? Yeah.
Do you wish you could have seen Jason Segel's penis more?
I feel like twice is enough. I think I'm good. I'm good on that.
Headline: Ruth wants to see more peen from Jason Segel.
I just said twice is enough. So the headline should be headline: Ruth sees Jason Segel's penis twice, is content.
I'm definitely going to like go back and edit it. And when you say twice is enough, and I'm going to add not. And so you could be like, twice is not enough.
Because there's no way that you're dedicated enough to go back through here and find an instance where I say that word. So you're just going to record it in your own voice.
Yes. So next up is character development.
Okay, your turn.
Okay.
Weigh us in.
Yes.
Weigh us in. And weigh your options. But really, weigh us in.
Ruth, quick questions. It's a quick side note. Is English your first language?
It's my first language, as in it's the first one that I learned, but it's not my first language. Like, I'm not first in it, you know?
Yeah. No.
Thanks for asking. Continue on.
So, for character development, I think both of these movies do show it. I think one focuses a lot more on character development, and that's Forgetting Sarah Marshall. You know, the whole point is Jason Segel getting over it. And getting over it is also part of it is realizing, you know, because he was always viewing their relationship with like rose-colored lenses and like only looking at the good stuff. And then there's one point where he starts to like think about like, you know, more the negatives of his relationship. Kind of similar to 500 Days of Summer, where like, when you're heartbroken, you're only focused on like the happiness and what you're missing. And then you start to be like, wait a minute, this wasn't so great as I remembered. And once he finally got to that point, I think is when he, and also, you know, not that you have to find someone new to fully get over a relationship, but that does help. So
it
I think
a big difference.
Yeah. And I think him being treated better by Mila Kunis, and also he was forced to be better himself and to try and to put more effort into it. He also got lazy in his relationship with Sarah Marshall. And, you know, in that instance, I don't blame her for ending the relationship. I think she handled him very poorly, but I don't blame her for ending it. So
yeah, I agree.
Anyway, overall, I think there's a lot more character development in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. You know, Christina Milian and Hot Jake have to get over, you know, their different qualms. He's getting over the death of his girlfriend. She's getting over, you know, losing the life that she had originally pictured for herself with the breaking up of her boyfriend, the loss of her job, inheriting an inn.
We've all been there.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
So what about you? Also, I have to say a side note. In both of these films, I really love... Oh, I did vote. I thought I voted for Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
No, you've just been talking about pros and cons for each of
them. Definitely thought I voted. No. Okay, I vote for Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I also want to give a quick shout out to both of these movies. I think have really great side characters. I think, you know, they're definitely more wholesome and sweet and pure in Falling in Love, which, like, that it felt fit the vibe, so it fit really well.
Right.
I love all the side characters in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. And they're...
Me too.
Except Jonah Hill. Jonah Hill, he's not my favorite. But I love Paul Rudd as just, like, the dipshit surf instructor. I love the bartender that he kind of just, like, befriends. I love the couple on their honeymoon who have never had sex before who are just, like, bumbling.
So good.
I love the scene when Alistair Snow, the rocker, is teaching the honeymoon guy how to have sex with his girlfriend.
How to move his hips.
And they're, like, practicing on, like, the giant chessboard.
Yeah.
Oh, and his his half brother or step brother, Bill Hader. I also love him in the film and his wife.
And his wife. So funny.
Yeah,
this is a very funny rom com. Like, I don't know who wrote it. Actually,
didn't Jason Segel write it?
I don't think so. He wrote the music. Oh, it was. Yeah. Oh. Produced by Judd Apatow. That makes sense. I was going to say, it feels a lot like a Judd Apatow rom-com.
But it has all the same people as a Judd Apatow rom-com.
Yeah, true. But also those movies are like much more heavy on the comedy than and the romance is kind of like a side part, you know?
Yeah.
But like this movie is just really funny. Whereas Falling in Love, I think I laughed no times.
Even with the goat?
There was a time that I laughed, but I didn't. She would just see the goat and they go, whoa, and fall out of the bed. I was like, dude, chill.
No, she's not going to chill.
It's just a goat. The goat was the best character in that.
Yeah.
I voted the same as you for pretty much all the same reasons. I just think there was definitely, like, objectively, when you stand back and look, there was character development in Falling in Love. They just, as oftentimes in Hallmark-y movies, didn't really feel... I guess this is more to Christina Milian and the other characters. They didn't really feel like real people to me. So I wasn't as like emotionally invested in them growing. Whereas I felt like I really knew everyone in this movie in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, even if they were crazy people. So I definitely voted for Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I think it's a really good example also of the whole like someone's life falls apart. They start to get into a new relationship, but they're really not ready for it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to go off and like be alone and learn on their own first. Like, I just think that often works really well for character development in movies. And this is a good example of it.
So yeah.
I voted for the same.
Yeah. And kind of realizing in the new relationship of like how you're supposed to be treated and how you're supposed to treat someone at the same time. And, you know, and it didn't, even though Sarah Marshall was the villain, she wasn't the villain 100% of the time.
Right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Which I also appreciate.
Yeah.
Also, I loved the ending. The fact that it was like a perfect punishment for Sarah Marshall for the way that she kind of badly treated him, but it wasn't all her fault. The fact that she got a new show, after her show got canceled, she got a new show, but it was like a stupid show. She could read, wasn't it like she could read animals' minds or something?
Yeah, part of the plot point is that iconic. she kind of felt over her TV show and was like ready to move on to bigger movies. And like, that's kind of like what led to her like kind of having a bigger head. And then the show got canceled, the show that Jason Segel also works on too. So she was kind of upset because she was like, I thought I was ready to be done, but I guess I'm not. And then she clearly doesn't move into movies.
No.
No. All right. So next up is social awareness.
Social awareness. This one was the easiest one for me. It's partially because you said Falling in Love is a 2019 movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's partially because Falling in Love was a 2019 movie and Forgetting Sarah Marshall is a 2008 movie. So a decade in between there.
Yes.
But it was a very easy vote for me for Falling in Love.
Yes.
There was a large focus on the Maori people, which doesn't often take place mm-hmm. in like movies in New Zealand. Because classic racism against Native people that happens in every country.
Nice.
There were like some, you know, there was just like token one of every people. Like there were some gay characters thrown in there. Lead character was a black woman. She was actually like a Hispanic black woman. And like specifically the fact that she was a woman in her field, it wasn't just coincidence that she was cast that way. Like it came up in the beginning of the movie that yeah. she was constantly being spoken over and opportunities for white men were being given to white men that she didn't get. Whereas Forgetting Sarah Marshall is all about a white man.
Yeah.
And there's not much going on besides, like I mentioned, it was cool to see that there were some like real characters who were Native Hawaiians. That's cool. But besides that, it was an easy vote for me for Falling in Love.
I voted the same. So, and I, everything you said, God, we are just like on the same page, this podcast, and it's like not as exciting. Oh
gosh.
But the other thing that I'll focus on was how also she was so passionate about like eco sustainability and eco-friendly architecture and design, and like they talked about the eco environmentally friendly design throughout the film, and it was really interesting. And you know, that's just like something we all really need to think about. It's a step that we all need to take.
You're not wrong.
Yes. Also, there was some questionable decisions made in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, but that's more, you could say, the argument on the character development side versus social awareness, but they weren't all making their best choices all the time.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that. Okay, cool. So then we move into our final category, which is rewatchability.
All right, let's see where we go with this one.
This was also a very easy category for me because I did not have a good time watching Falling in Love. This is the second time I've seen it. It wasn't a party. I didn't really enjoy myself, except for watching Jake, because he's so beautiful.
So beautiful.
So beautiful. But besides that, I was kind of just waiting for it to be over. Whereas I've seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall, I just think it's objectively funny. Jason Segel does a very good, like, you just relate to him and you want him to be happy and get a good life. And Mila Kunis is always cute to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I voted for Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I voted the same.
Ugh. Tragedy.
I want us to fight more. But I do like both movies. I think Falling in Love is very silly. It's very dumb. But it's a comfort. It's really easy to watch. It's a good background movie. But Forgetting Sarah Marshall, it's just a better quality movie. And there's some really funny lines in there, some really funny characters. And it's just overall a good time.
I agree.
And there's more. You probably voted for Forgetting Sarah Marshall also because there's more music in it, as in musicals.
It was an incredibly important part. Like, how great is it you have a movie and then also they wrote like a whole soundtrack to it? And the fun fact about this movie is Jason Segel writing the music for this movie eventually led to him being able to write the music for the Muppet movie, which was also very good. So I just think it's fun all around.
Yeah, full circle.
full circle. All right, who did we end up with? Did we vote the same in every category?
We did. That's why I'm kind of disappointed.
Disgusting. Show's canceled.
Where is okay, the so tension? Where is the drama?
We're like falling in love in the kiss scenes right now. That's what our podcast is.
So, the winner. It's closer than you were going to expect, but the winner is Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
As it should be, because I never want to watch Falling in Love again.
Wow. It's a fine movie. What is wrong with you?
It's really not. It's really not a fine movie. When I first watched it, I'd give it a C. I think I'd give it a D+ now.
Why?
It's a below fine movie.
You love bad movies.
The acting isn't very good. I don't think it goes enough into fun bad. I think it ends up just being kind of Hallmarky territory. And I only like the worst of the worst.
Or the best of the best.
Movies. And it's just... Or the best of the best, right.
Yeah.
There aren't that many of them. But after we're watching all these quality rom-coms for the podcast, and then I watch Falling in Love, and I'm just like... This is a honker. Which is a word I made up for when something's bad.
Well, we had to go with Falling in Love because our true inspiration for it. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Falling in Love.
We would not be here in life.
I mean, we would be living. I'm not saying we'd be dead.
Oh, I thought it was that.
I'm not saying Falling in Love saved our lives. I'm saying it inspired... us recording this podcast right now.
Christine Milian, now that I'm thinking of it, I love her. Well, I think I love her. But then when I think about it, I'm like, she's been responsible for some of the movies that have made me the most mad in my life. For example, Bring It On 3.
Get over Bring It On 3. How many are there?
6, apparently.
God!
Christina Milian is in Bring It On 5, which also ruined my life. Although it is one of the better ones because at least they finally put a woman of color in the lead, as opposed to 2, 3, and 4 all have white people as the lead, I think. And they're all very racist. So at least Bring It On 5 has a woman of color as the lead, but still.
So, question for you. What in your life happened to you for you to watch all 5 Bring It Ons?
That's a very easy answer. The answer is because Bring It On, number 1, is one of my favorite movies of all time, and I firmly believe is one of the greatest sports movies of all time. And so I watched the other ones in hopes that they would be fun, and then they... weren't, but they did have cheerleading in them, and I thought that was fun, so I watched them. They were racist.
Yes.
So that's good. Yeah. They completely misunderstood the point of the first movie. So then I needed to keep watching to see if they got any better, and they didn't.
They didn't.
Spoiler alert. They didn't. But, okay, both of these movies were better than Bring It On 5. So... I'm gonna change my bonus category spontaneously.
Oh, wow.
I know. Right now.
So we don't need the bonus categories because the final vote, the final tally was 6-4. But what were
in favor of Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, in favor of Forgetting Sarah Marshall. What were your bonus categories?
I only had one, but I'm throwing your rain in the trash right now because I have a better one.
Okay.
Would you... rather watch Bring It On 5 5 times.
Bring It On 5 is not even part of this episode.
Would you rather watch Bring It On 5 5 times or or no, I lost the plot. I had an idea and then I lost it. Would you like to watch Bring It On 5?
No!
That's my bonus question. My bonus question is yes or no. Would you like to watch Bring It On 5 with me?
No! The answer is no.
That's a
That's a point for forgetting Sarah Marshall. That's a point against Christina Milian.
You can't make these rules like this.
It's my show.
It's my show, too.
And right now I want to watch Bring It On 5.
You're watching that by yourself.
Damn it.
I thought you just said Bring It On 5 ruined the series for you.
No, it ruined my life. It's been too long since I've watched it. I have to watch it again.
All right, that's going to be a solo project for you.
Damn it.
Okay. So, because
Christina Milian.
Because I take this podcast seriously, I made actual bonus categories. If you had to choose...
Please, share them with us.
If you had to choose, mm-hmm. which resort would you stay at? An all-inclusive, beautiful, oceanfront resort in Hawaii? Or an eco-friendly, beautiful, secluded inn with a goat in New Zealand?
Yeah, see, this is a tough one because my first instinct on a human level would be obviously to go for beachfront resort in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
But on an ethical level, Hawaiians are like, please stop coming here. Whereas New Zealand is constantly running campaigns to be like, please come here.
Yes.
Also, New Zealand, that inn has a goat. And you mm-hmm. know goats are one of my greatest passions in life.
Yes, top five.
And it's eco-friendly, so like, mm-hmm. bonus. So mm-hmm. I'm actually going to vote for New Zealand. I talked myself into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, damn it. We're also... it's my same vote.
Damn it!
Because... A.
We voted different on my bonus category because I voted yes, I want to watch Bring It On 5 and you voted no.
That is not a true bonus category. That's disqualified. Just like they were in Bring It On.
How dare you?
Well, we also forget that eco-friendly inn in New Zealand also has a hot owner that we can see when we visit and stay there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
We could look at him. He's in a serious relationship now, so we probably can't have him.
In real life? How do we know this? Or in the film? No, are we, like, in this film's universe?
Obviously, because the inn doesn't exist in real life.
Okay.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
You just said the inn has a hot owner we can look at. Okay. That's in the movie, not in real life. And you were like, what are you talking about in real life? No, we're all talking about the fictional movie. This episode has gone completely off the rails, and I blame you.
I forgot the world that my question was built into.
You forgot the rules you were playing by. What do you vote for? You didn't vote.
I voted for falling in love. You need to listen better.
All right. I'm so over you right now.
So over you. We did end up fighting, even though we agreed on everything.
We just agreed the whole time, and that caused us to fight. Okay. We did it. We have a stupid winner. Stupid episode.
Hey, don't you speak about
it. I'm excited for... I'm excited for Forgetting Sarah Marshall to continue on. It'll be fun to watch it again.
Yeah.
And this is one of our rare movies we have so far this season that's, like, mostly a comedy. You know, like, kind of raunchy.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun to see it up next to, like, Some Like It Hot or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was a feistier episode than any of us anticipated.
Don't worry. We're still friends.
I don't know.
We just need to go take a hot 20 minutes away from each other. Don't talk to each other, and then we'll be best friends again.
I think we need a hot 20 months before we hang out again.
Well, that's unfortunate because you and I are seeing each other in less than an hour.
That really is unfortunate.
For those of you who won't be seeing in the next hour, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry that I wish I could apologize for the energy getting really crazy at the end, but honestly, we know this is what you came for. You come for the conflict.
You come for the chaos that mm-hmm. naturally ensues between us.
Mm-hmm. Even when we try to stop it, it comes bursting out some other way.
There was absolutely no way you tried to stop that.
I just wanted to watch Bring It On 5. Thank you all so much for joining us. Please come back for our next episode where we'll be doing Bring It On 5 versus Bring It On 5. The only movie featured in the episode. Don't worry, Bring It On 5 is not featured anywhere in this season. Come back in 2 weeks to see what will be up next, because we have some fun movies coming up, and we are actually getting closer and closer to the semifinals, where if you listened last season, you will remember that we will be inviting some special guests on. So definitely finish up the first couple of rounds with me and Kristen, soak up our energy before we introduce some new chaos into the mix.
I was going to say, I don't think it's going to be less energy. If anything, it's going to get crazier.
It's going to be crazier. So sit back and relax while you can. Subscribe and follow us on any platform you use to listen to our podcast. And as Kristen kindly likes to mention, we have some social platforms too. What do we got for them, Kristen?
Yeah, we got Instagram. We're pretty active on there. We like to post or show clips and reminders when a new episode is available. We have a Facebook, which we are much less active on. And then we also have a TikTok, which is not active at all because it does not exist yet.
It does exist. It's just currently private.
It currently has nothing posted.
Currently has nothing posted on it. But someday it will. We've made it to episode 7. Stick around. See when TikTok goes live. You're going to want to be there for that.
Maybe 2024.
Maybe. That's a fun year. As always, thanks for listening, guys. And good luck with this beautiful, beautiful winter season.